Now the campaign, a centerpiece of Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren's presidential campaign is what she calls a wealth tax.
I've been thinking about a wealth tax for years now, mostly as I just see how distorted our economy has become, so that people who work hard, who play by the rules, they're just flatlining in terms of income, and yet all their expenses are going up. But for this tiny fraction that amasses big wealth, that wealth just keeps on growing at a huge pace.
Warren proposes an annual tax of 2% on wealth over $50 million and a 6% tax on wealth beyond $1 billion. Warren claims the tax could fund Medicare for all, pay for canceling most student debt, and support investments in daycare and historically black colleges. WBUR's Fred Tice reports on the arguments for and against her wealth tax.
To make her case for a wealth tax, Warren is relying on two economists. One of them is Gabriel Zucman. He teaches at the University of California at Berkeley. He's been studying what happened to the American economy since 1980, and he's found that, adjusted for inflation, half the country still makes what it did 39 years ago.
The average pre-tax income for the bottom 50% was $18,000 in 1980, and today it's almost the same, $18,500. You've had half of the population, you have this huge group that's been excluded from economic growth.
People like Sage Radichowski. He's a carpenter in the Berkshires.
Peppered all around this county are these long driveways with large houses and perfectly manicured landscapes. That's the business around here, mostly. All the services for the wealthy houses. The lawn people and the carpenters and the plumbers and the heating people.
As he drives through Great Barrington, Radichowski says he's worked on many of those houses, but has struggled to save enough money to buy land so he can build his own house. He says in the southern Berkshires, you need at least $60,000 to buy a plot of buildable land.
And I had saved up $5,000, but that wasn't nearly enough, and that was in several years of trying and working night jobs, too. Making basically what I thought was a good wage. Carpenter's wage at $30 an hour, too. It's just the cost of living around here is so high.
Radichowski's grandfather is also a carpenter.
He bought land and built his own house. My grandpa bought land outright. He saved up the money. He saved up $1,500, which was 500 hours at $3 per hour as a carpenter.
A New York Times poll in July found Warren's proposal for a wealth tax is supported by two-thirds of adults in the U.S. It's especially popular at her events.
It is time for a wealth tax in America.
Attending a Warren town hall meeting in Exeter, New Hampshire, is 33-year-old Matt Porter of Lowell. He says he and his wife have delayed having children because he has $74,000 in college loans, a challenge Warren wants to confront with the wealth tax.
I think that there's a lot of wealth trapped in the upper echelon. And any way that we can get that to spread down would be great.
Inequality in the United States is something economist Zucman is an expert on. He says it all began with massive policy changes in the 1980s, when taxes became less progressive.
The U.S. used to have the most progressive tax system in the world, and now essentially has a giant flat tax where all income groups pay roughly the same tax rate when you look at federal, state, and local taxes. All these changes have happened at the same time, and all of these changes have pushed in the same direction of increasing income and wealth at the top, partly at the expense of other groups of the population.
Working with Zucman, fellow Berkeley economist Emmanuel Saez has calculated that Warren's wealth tax would raise nearly $4 trillion over the next 10 years.
And it is a reliable source of revenue because wealth is now so highly concentrated that there is a lot of wealth and therefore a large tax base there.
That's a claim other economists question, including former Treasury Secretary and Harvard University President Lawrence Summers.
Advocates of a wealth tax have done the debate a disservice by providing revenue estimates that really can't be defended analytically and are unreasonable.
Summers says the wealth tax is likely to bring in half what Saez and Zuckman predict. For one thing, he says they underestimate the ability of the wealthy to hide their assets.
The assumption that they make that there would only be 15% avoidance is made up. It is kind of absurd to assert, as they do, that the level of avoidance has nothing to do with the rate of the tax. And we don't have experience with an American wealth tax, but we do have experience with the American estate tax, and we do have experience with European wealth taxes. And both those experiences suggest that the 15% is a vast underestimate of the level of avoidance.
But Saez says Americans won't be able to escape a wealth tax the way Europeans have simply by moving to another country.
In the U.S., taxes are based on citizenship, so moving abroad wouldn't extinguish the wealth tax.
Summers says a wealth tax probably would not be his first choice, but he calls it a reasonable option to debate and consider.
However, a wealth tax in conjunction with 7 other taxes at the very, very high end becomes an unreasonable option that is based on the politics of envy that will not strike most Americans as fair.
Back in Great Barrington, Carpenter Sage Radichowski, who supports Bernie Sanders, does see a wealth tax as fair.
People are strapped, stretched out far too much. A wealth tax would help that. Somebody has to bail out the people. We have to bail out the people.
Thanks to someone who lent him, interest-free, $10,000 for a down payment, Radichowski was recently able to get a construction loan to buy his plot of land. But he points out how exceptional that is. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Fred Tice.